I'm so glad that you guys are joining us on this Good Friday. And I know that over the past few days and over the past few weeks, every time we tune into the news, we are hearing of COVID-19. And I know that at this moment, as you guys are hearing, the death tolls are continuing to rise. And you may have somebody that you know that has contracted COVID-19. You may be in prayer, battling for someone's life because they're at the hospital right now. For those of you guys that are going through it, for those of you guys that have maybe even lost someone to COVID, my prayer today is that on this Good Friday, you would hear a word of encouragement to you. So the title of the word that I'm bringing to you today is When Defeat Leads to Victory. And I'm reading from John, the 19th chapter, and I'll read the 16th to 18th verse, and then I'll read the 25th through the 27th verse. So read with me now. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There he was crucified, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. And near the cross of Jesus, and this is the 25th verse, stood his mother. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Let us pray. The Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that, God, you have given us the possibility and the ability, God, to be connected in such a moment in time. God, as many of us are experiencing this pandemic, this crisis in our society, God, I ask you that you would see it fit today to encourage so many people who are just looking for hope in the midst of some of the hardest times that they've ever experienced. God, I pray for myself, what I always pray, that God, you would hide me behind your cross. That God, you would use your vessel to transmit your word to your people. We thank you and we bless you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I remember 6 years ago, I was unlocking my bike near Duane Reade around my way. And, you know, in New York, you have to, right? If you're going to buy a couple things from Duane Reade, you got to lock your bike, you know, on the street and then unlock your bike. And so I was in the process of unlocking my bike. And I was just walking my bike over in the direction that I was going to ride when I noticed a short teenage girl, maybe 5'1", walking straight towards me. And, you know, like in New York, people walk past you all the time. You know, even before we got all the social distancing rules, like New Yorkers just know walking etiquette. It's like they get right in your face and right before they bump you, they just swerve to the right and they miss you completely. And that's just how New Yorkers walk. And so I see her, she's 5'1". I'm thinking maybe she's in high school. And then I'm just kind of like, I'm not going to think about it anymore. It's not even on my radar. My defenses are down. I'm having a great day. It's just kind of like a beautiful day out. And so it's the last thing that's on my mind. When this girl, this high school girl, this girl who's 5'1", she walks right into me without stopping. And like, not even yielding, not even like if she had seen me. Long story short, I was caught in a weird angle. My defenses were down and okay, she tackled me. Right, she tackled me and I find myself falling on the floor, literally on top of my bike
And anyone who's a bystander that tunes in right now sees a 5'1" high school girl who just tackled a 6'200" man. And that doesn't happen in New York City without everybody noticing. I mean, as I was falling, I heard people, maybe a dozen people, just gasp for air as I'm like falling on top of my bike. I'm shocked. I'm on top of my bike. So many people are looking at me. And I'm just embarrassed. What was I gonna do? Was I gonna be like, hey, listen, we're filming. what was I gonna do? I am trying to like pick myself up. And you know, what was worse is that there's somebody who I thought was cute around my way. And like, I barely ever even saw her. And as I'm on the floor, just completely defeated, like in a moment, all of a sudden, like she comes up to me and she's the first person that says, hey, what happened? Oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. And in record time, like I get back up. And as I'm getting up, while the girl who bumped me is trying to like help me, and she's like, going through, I'm not sure, she just looked like she was thinking through so many things at that time. Like, I just had to take that out. Just think about it for a moment. You know, some of you guys are saying, hey, Jen, you should have played. What was I gonna say? There's nothing that I could have done. It was embarrassing, and I was completely defeated. The only thing worse than defeat is when defeat is public. It is one thing to suffer a loss and maybe you and your family know about it. It is another completely other thing when you suffer defeat and everyone sees it. The shame and the embarrassment is almost as painful as the defeat itself. In this passage, there's so many people, but I want to focus on Mary. If there's one person in the world who had a front row seat to the hope that came through Jesus, it was Mary. Mary, who was promised, you shall have a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mary, who suffered being talked about and questioned by everyone she knew in Israel for an illegitimate son that was born to her. We know this because in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus is questioned about who his father is. Mary, who God reassured, no, this is not a curse. He's not a mistake. But you have been impregnated with the promise of all of Israel. Mary, who by supernatural means was assured, because by natural means, by any kind of natural confirmation or affirmation, her son should have been an outcast and a nobody. And after these supernatural reassurances, the Bible records that she hid these things in her heart. Mary, who had so much faith in Jesus that she made him perform his first public miracle, like a good mother, just giving him instruction. You do that. Because at least for a moment in history, she was the mother of a son who had infinite power. Mary, who had so much hope and so many dreams, who had hidden in her heart so many aspirations of what her son would do, is now witnessing the defeat of everything that she had lived for, of everything she had worked so hard to preserve. I could see Mary look at Jesus and say, come on, son. Do it one more time. But this time, do it for you. Come on, son, come off that cross. And that cross could be symbolic of loved ones who are suffering from disease this very moment. Come on, come off this cross and show the world who you have been prophesied to be. Gabriel himself told me that you would ascend the throne of your forefather David and that you would reign forever and ever. Come on, son, fold your arms down and call down the legions of angels you command and make this scene, this horrific scene, right again. I've seen you do it again and again. I saw the way you rose Lazarus. I heard of the way you healed the blind man. I'm standing next to the man you healed that was once crippled. Come on. Do it one more time. Just say the word. And the next words out of Jesus' mouth was, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Indicating that this time he won't do it. This time he won't free himself. This time he won't come home in victory. And for some of us, it may be that this time we won't make it home from the hospital with everyone. And we won't come home saying, "Thank God that he got us past that one safe." And for some of us, it means that you or a loved one has contracted COVID. And Jesus, in the midst of pain and agony, submits himself to God's greater plan. Because the Bible states that God's ways are higher than ours, and God's ways are not like our ways. What if sometimes defeat leads to victory? What Mary did not know is that every inch that Jesus crept towards death was an inch closer that Jesus was to God's hands. What Mary did not know is that Jesus' defeat ushered him into God's ultimate destiny. Yes, God uses even death to accomplish his purposes. Mary looks at her son saying, "God, but I had so many hopes. God, I had so many dreams. I had so many things that you put in me for him, God. And in this moment when I'm supposed to be able to protect him, there's nothing that I can do." But what Mary did not know was that death was going to usher in Jesus' greatest victory. What Mary did not know was that the blood he shed was going to save humanity from eternal death. What Mary did not know was that the unjust death of a righteous individual is redemptive. And what she didn't know was that the unjust death of this perfect individual was going to save the whole world. Today on this Good Friday, just like Mary, many of us are confronted with death or the possibility of death. And we bring against death all of our hopes and all of our dreams, but who knows if death or the possibility of death on this Good Friday is working into you an eternal victory? Who knows if a temporary defeat, contracting COVID, the possibility of losing someone to COVID, not having what you think you need to get past this crisis, who knows if this temporary defeat has brought your loved ones, just like Jesus, into God's eternal plan? Who knows if right now at the hospital, your loved ones are speaking to God in a way they have never spoken to him before? How many of you guys know that when you come face to face with death or its possibilities, you have different conversations? It is not life as you know it. It is a different season. You have different conversations. Who knows if these conversations that your loved ones are having with him are bringing them into their eternal destiny? Who knows if, like Jesus, this temporary L will usher into their lives an eternal victory? Who knows if God is using this temporary L to bring those around you, not just the person who's suffering, not just the person who may have contracted COVID, not just the person who is fighting for their life, but those around you into his glorious life. Who knows if, like Jesus, his family and his loved ones, that the most horrific day that they had ever seen, the day that the Eternal One, the one who knew no beginning, the second person of the Trinity, the day that he experienced death, who knows if, like on that day, this moment, this crisis, this trial that you're going through would be transformed into the symbol of your greatest victory, the way that the cross was transformed into the earth's greatest victory. Who knows if one day we will realize, like Jesus and his disciples after him, that all things, even sickness and even death, that all things God will work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. But the earth's greatest victory was ushered in by tears. And death brings an end to earthly dreams and ushers in eternal purposes. So today, if you are grieving, grieve. You don't have to be ashamed. All of our heroes that were all around Jesus in this moment, they ushered in eternal purposes through their tears. Because oddly enough, even in your grief, even in your tears, and even in the depth of your hopes and dreams, God is there. God is there. God is here. He hasn't left you. Although no one could perceive it on that fateful Friday in the first century, in the face of Jesus' death, God was there. And the same is true today. In the face of sickness and death, God is here. He is ready to get you in touch with his ways. Just like with Jesus. Instead of God's plan being nullified through sickness and death, God's plan can be established through it. You know, so many people wear crosses, and we wear that as a sign of forgiveness, and we wear that as a sign of victory. But it's ironic that the symbol of death, the way that someone came into the most gruesome death in the first century, the way that Jesus died, was transformed into a symbol of victory. Who knows if this moment, which could be one of the darkest moments of your life, God will use to transform it into the symbol of your greatest victory in life. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that on this Good Friday, as many of us are going through so much, as many of us have loved ones who are in the hospital, as many of us are fighting for life, I thank you, God, that on this day, you have shown us already through your very life that death doesn't have the last say. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that for those of us who are grieving, for those of us who are sick in our bodies because of worry, I pray that you would put us in tune with a different frequency. I pray pray that you would put us in tune with your ways. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I want to actually bring us into a different time of worship through communion. And communion represents that sacrifice. I spoke of the way that Jesus volunteered himself to die, of the way that he could have, if he wanted to, brought himself down off that cross and made the most difficult day of his life a day where he didn't have to suffer and die. But he did that because he understood that in the submission that he submitted himself to God, that somehow God was going to work out a story of redemption for the whole world where death wouldn't have the final say. And so in remembrance of his sacrifice, we take communion. And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. And it reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"